Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome back to the Backcountry PA Podcast. This is episode 141. On this one, we had the pleasure of sitting down with David Stern Jr., the guy behind Devil Dog Outdoors. It's a YouTube channel pretty much based around the outdoors. It's fishing and hunting. But pretty much on this episode, we talk about snakeheads because he's had quite a few snakeheads that he's caught that are really, really nice. And they're classified actually as dragons when they get to a certain length and weight and all that kind of stuff. Pretty much we just cover, that's really what we talk about. We talk about fishing, snakeheads, a little bit of hunting here and there. We talk about bass fishing, some tips and tricks that he is recommending to catch either bass or snakehead. They're kind of interchangeable, so you can take them either way. But it's a really fun episode. Really hope you guys enjoy it. Make sure you go check out Devil Dog Outdoors on YouTube. It'll be in the podcast description with the link, but hope you guys enjoy it. Remember to give us a rating and review on Apple or Spotify. Remember to keep hunting, keep fishing, keep your tradition, and enjoy the freaking process. So right off the bat, do you want to introduce yourself to us, the listeners, how you got into fishing, the outdoors, and hunting? I know you hunt a little bit too, so talk about how you got into that stuff. There you go.
My name's Dave. I created Devil Dog Outdoors back in 2015. I was in the Marine Corps at the time, and that's where I came up with the name. I've had quite a few people actually ask me if I came up with my name after the Tasty Cakes. The Devil Dogs, and I'm like, no, that's not where I got that from. It came from my active service as a Marine.
Well, thank you for your service also.
I appreciate it. And my family, ever since I was little, even growing up in like a city area, we kind of lived that country lifestyle. We did a lot of hunting, a lot of fishing, and it was just around me so much that I felt like there was absolutely no escape from that lifestyle. And I remember like quite a bit, we would sit and watch VHS tapes of like the Real Tree Guys, Mossy Oak and stuff like that. And I'm watching them film their hunts and stuff. And then I'd hear like my family's stories of being on these hunts and what all happened. And I was like, man, I really wish I could watch that.
Yeah.
Like I want to sit back and put a tape in and watch my family go out there and do that. So I can feel like, you know, I was there. So kind of like all my life growing up, I've always wanted to create this outdoor show where I like share my experiences outdoors when it came to hunting and fishing. I watched a lot of Bill Dance growing up. And I didn't really catch my first bass until I was like 16, I want to say.
Okay.
Randomly by accident. And that's kind of where my love for bass fishing really came in at, was watching Bill Dance. And then when I caught my first one, I mean, it was like this freaking big. Dude, man, I was pumped. I was like, dude, I got one. I finally got one. But it was a lot of fun just catching even that little guy. And then I ended up joining the Marine Corps. I didn't really target bass much. I didn't know too much about it. But for the most part, I did a lot more hunting than anything else. We did do our random fishing, just throwing bait on a line and casting out, sitting and waiting. But I joined the Marine Corps, and when I got out, I was at MOS school down in Fort Lee, Virginia, and I created Devil Dog Outdoors when I got there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, my goal then, when I originally started Devil Dog Outdoors, was to create the biggest outdoor sports team in hunting and fishing industries. Basically, all the members would include any and all active duty service members that submitted any kind of photos or videos. I would mm-hmm. post them. You could be a reservist from any branch. It really didn't matter. Like, if you were a veteran, active, past, it don't matter. Like, you were going to be a part of what I was doing.
Right, right.
And a lot of people took it as a joke.
Uh-huh.
Even my active duty buddies that were, like, around me, were like, they just didn't take me serious.
Right.
And I just kind of, like, sat back, and I was like, cool, you know, that's fine. I'll just do this on my own then. Uh-huh. But I'm going to include my family, because I wouldn't live the lifestyle that I live if it wasn't for them bringing it around me coming up as a child. So, I just kind of took what they gave me when I was younger and ran with it even further.
Mm-hmm.
So I got down to targeting specific species of fish, that being a largemouth bass. And I feel like I've gotten pretty good at it. I'm not the best, obviously, but one of these days I'm hoping that I can take that dream and passion and dedication that I have for bass fishing and mm-hmm. turn that into a Bassmaster Elite series.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You never really know, but,
no,
I got a long ways to go before I get there, obviously. But, for now I do enjoy filming my fishing trips, filming what I can and sharing my experiences and giving tips and stuff like that on mm-hmm. how I'm catching a lot of these fish. And then, I mean, one of the biggest things that I've always wanted to document is me with my son out there on the water. That's definitely going to be coming here soon. I'm really excited for that. He's a year old right now, but, as he gets older, eventually I'm going to put a pole in his hand and teach him a little bit. Yep. I think it'd be pretty cool if, maybe I can get him in an area where the snakehead are swimming and mm-hmm. his first fish is snakehead.
Yeah,
I think that would be pretty sweet.
Oh yeah,
it is a good, but, it's a good feeling. I tell you, like my wife's niece, I take her fishing all the like. I treat her as if she is my own because she comes over every month to hang out. So that feeling I always take her out fishing. So that feeling mm-hmm. of her catching a fish, me being there, me taking pictures of her, it is one of the best feelings ever. So when that happens for you, it's. I mean, it's probably going to even be more because it's your own kid, but it's going to feel good.
Sorry for the interruption, guys and gals. Partners. So, Argrounds Coffee Company, you know him. You love him. Ed, he's in the process of putting his own roaster in his basement right now, which is awesome to be self-sufficient. He can do everything himself then, but he still has merch. His coffee's on back order, I believe, right now for a little bit. But go to his website, use BCPA. That'll get you 15% off your entire order. Forget Genetics. Forget Genetics is a local company to us here in Mannheim. It's out of Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Barry is grinding also. He is putting a lot of work in. He's in a lot of new stores. Go to his website. Use code BACKCountryPA, BACKCTRYPA. That'll get you 20% off your entire order. It'll also be in the description of the podcast if you forget what it is. Tidewee is a mixture of everything. They have a lot of heated stuff. They have a rain suit. They're really nice. It's not your typical rain suit where it's all noisy and stuff when you walk through the woods or make any kind of noise, or you can hear yourself when the rain hits it. It is almost something you can wear even when it's not raining out. In the early season, you could wear it, and you probably won't sweat as much, but you'll stay that just the right temperature to be out all day. Go to Tidewee. Check out their blinds. Check out their snake-proof boots. They actually are bite-proof, which I'm going to be getting myself a pair of those. They have a really cool backpack. They have a frame pack, too. Go check them out. Use code BCP18, and that'll get you 18% off your entire order every single time. New partner, and we are pumped and honored to be working with these guys, XOP. If you're in the mobile game, if you're into tree stands, you know what XOP is already. XOP has been around for quite a while. They're making affordable stands, sticks, harnesses. They have new gear coming out that's going to blow your mind. You've seen some of it on Instagram, probably, if you probably follow them. But their stand, their one stand is going to be 6 pounds, and their other stand is going to be 7.5 pounds. Both very affordable, under $500 before taxes and shipping, all that kind of stuff. But they also double as a frame pack as well. The seat sits level, so you can pack out your deer. You can put your backpack on the back of it. You can put your sticks on it. It's perfect for the mobile setup. These stands are mobile. Use code BACKCountryPA15 and save some money. Back to the episode. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I'm excited. I kind of want to see how that looks on a a little Paw Patrol kids fishing pole.
Yep,
it's going to be pretty interesting.
Oh, for sure.
But I'm going to try to help him out as much as I can. Obviously, if he hooks into one, I'm just going to hold on to him, and I'm just going to say reel.
Yeah,
as much as you can until I guess either the line breaks or we're actually able to land the fish. But
yeah.
I mean, that's another thing. So when it came to the snakehead, I kind of accidentally fell into that.
Okay.
So I was fishing for the Bass Pro Shops U.S. Open tournament.
Okay.
I think it was like 2 years ago. And I accidentally caught my first snakehead ever in the lower Potomac.
All right.
And I got it on a Guggen Baits mini banger.
Guggen.
The Mondo. Yeah. It was the Mondo shad color. I was ripping it over some grass, and out of nowhere, I mean, my rod just doubled over, and I leaned back, and I thought I had an absolute hammer of a bass. I was like, oh, my God, dude. Yeah. Like, this is bad luck. I'm catching this giant bass now. He's not going to be back tomorrow.
Right.
And I ended up pulling a 30.5-inch, 10-pound, 2-ounce snakehead.
Jesus.
For my first snakehead ever, and I was like, holy crap. So that's when I found out that I caught what they consider a dragon.
Okay.
So a dragon would be a snakehead that is 30 inches or more and has to be 10 pounds or more.
Oh, okay.
So you can have like a 30-inch snakehead. If it's 9 pounds, it's not what they would consider a dragon. A dragon is 30 or more. And then 10 and above for weight. So I accidentally caught it that day. And then since then, I hadn't caught any more. The following year, me and my brother, Dylan and my brother, Ethan, we set out for the Susquehanna River. And we were just going for anything to really bite. Like, we were baiting lines and just casting lines out, just sitting and waiting.
Right.
We weren't really having much success at all. And I remember, like, hopping up over this hill, and I came over the hill. And it looked like the Loch Ness Monster just moved right there at the freaking, like, at the bank.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the heck is that? And I'm looking around. There had to have been maybe 20 of them.
Wow.
Right there along the bank.
Holy shit.
And I was like, holy crap. I started screaming for my brothers. I was like, get over here, snakeheads. So they came down, and I said, I do know that if you have anything that you can target bass with, you can target these guys with.
Okay.
They're kind of the same thing. And I do know that one of the biggest things that you can use to go for them, a very common lure and something that's very useful against them, is a white paddle-tail swim bait. And I had a bunch of them.
Yeah.
So I told my brother, I said, here you go. You can even throw a chatterbait at them. They'll bite the chatterbaits.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of research after catching that first one.
Yeah.
And after finding all that information out, I was like, dude, we're surrounded by them. So now I have the tools in this tackle box, and we're going to use them. I mean, we were throwing top water. We were throwing the chatterbait and the swim bait. So I was throwing a swim bait. Brother Dylan was throwing chatterbait. And my brother Ethan was throwing a frog.
Yeah.
So, and we all got bites. My brother Ethan, unfortunately, took it like he was fishing for trout. And he reeled way too much. That fish was not done fighting just yet and broke him off.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He lost. He lost his first snakehead. He wasn't actually able to land the fish.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was so upset for him, dude. I was so pumped when he hooked into it because I talked him through that bite. Because he didn't have the polarized sunglasses on. I did. So I could see the fish like a shark, dude, just coming up underneath of that frog, just following it the whole time. And I was telling him, I was like, twitch it, pop it, twitch it, let it sit, twitch it. And then, bang, it just blows up. And I was like, set the hook. And he just started reeling. I was like, holy crap, dude. Like, I'm pumped, dude. Like, let's go. We got a good one.
Yeah.
And then he kept reeling. His drag was way too tight. I didn't hear that drag running at all, though that fish was fighting really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And he reeled it almost like the guide to his pole was here.
Mm-hmm.
And the eye of the hook was here. Like, what are you doing? I was like, what are you doing? That fish just popped his head one good time, and it just broke off. I was like, man, that sucked.
The thing that blows my mind about fishing, like, one, I'm not good at fishing at all. So, like, there's...
But you can be.
I can be, yes. If I really put my mind to it, I could be a good fisherman.
You could.
I could. I have the drive. But the thing is, like, I'm big into archery. And, like, archery and fishing are very similar in the types of techniques you have to use. Like, you have to have a specific technique for fishing. Like, use certain things for fishing that you need to put time in and effort in to know how to use them. Like a bait caster. I have a bait caster, don't know how to use it. You know, if I put the time in and knew how to use it, I'd become good at it. You know, just like the different types of lures that you just talked about. Like, it's like arrows. Yep. You know, if you put the certain, you got to have a certain type of arrow for certain types of things. You know, I fishing is a lot. The more I thought about it, fishing is a lot like hunting, the more. Because you also have to scout for these fish, too, to find out where they are.
Yes,
find out, 100%. Like, the streams they're in, the rocks, the logs, all that kind of stuff. Like, that's one thing that I've always wanted to know and talk about with someone is, like, how much scouting do you do for bass or snakehead or any other fish that you're going after?
So when it comes to the snakehead, it's funny you say that. I actually was thinking about that here a lot more this year. I felt like I was hunting deer in a way, because I don't throw my line in unless I see them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time, those snakehead, especially around this time of the year, they're in a pre-spawn right now. Water is not warm enough for them to all be trickled up into the shallows. You got a few that are staging and getting ready for it.
Okay.
But they're not quite there just yet. They're not spawning just yet, but here soon they will be. Probably within the next week or two, those really shallow creeks, especially anything that touches the Chesapeake, they're going to be there. They're definitely going to be there. They're in most of the creeks and streams that touch the Chesapeake Bay.
Okay.
They're kind of out deeper right now. You can find them out deeper. But when you're searching for them up in those shallows, man, I mean, I stay walking up and down the bank. And if I'm on my kayak, I'm rowing up and down, and I'm checking every rock, every tree, because they find those little cover points where the water's a lot more still. They're ambush predators, just like a largemouth bass.
Right.
They like being hidden before they strike, obviously. But I've also found, so a lot of people, they paint this picture that a snakehead is this super aggressive, the most aggressive fish in these waters now anymore, and they're just destroying everything.
Right.
That's not true.
Okay.
Anybody who has ever fished for snakehead can definitely agree with me that these fish can be just as finicky, if not more finicky, than a largemouth bass. And it's crazy because, like, my perception based off of what I kept hearing about these super aggressive fish was that you throw anything over at it and it's probably going to destroy it.
Yeah.
And the first day when me and my brothers, we ran into them, it seemed like that. It seemed like every fish that we saw, we would throw over at and they just wham, slammed it.
Right.
It was insane. I was like, holy crap. And then I went out there again. And I'm throwing over at, you know, a snakehead that's 30-plus inches, and it's scared of a 3-inch swim bait.
Hmm.
Wow.
Like, it took, I mean, as soon as that swim bait touched it, it just, boom, gone. I mean, took off, see ya. Like, I was like, wow, that was weird.
Yeah, that's like completely opposite of what everyone's talking, like, game fish, like, it's an invasive species, yes, we understand that. But, like, the picture that's being painted is, like, they're an aggressive fish that's killing other fish
all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is, like, they're timid just like any other fish in the water. Like,
They can be. They can be 100%. I've hit them with lures before and they're scared.
Mm-hmm.
They dart off like, nope, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I think these fish are also extremely intelligent.
Yeah.
I think they're very, very smart. But sometimes, obviously, like when they're in that feeding mode, they're definitely going to be willing to strike anything that looks pretty good at them. And again, like I said, if you're going to be like, if you're new to fishing for snakehead, a great start is a white paddle tail swimbait.
Okay.
100%. That is all you need. You find them in those shallows and throw over at them. If they're not interested, move on to the next one. Maybe that one might be. Right. But I've also found that if this one's not interested, this one's probably not interested. This one's probably not interested. It's crazy how it seems like if the bite's on, they're all biting. And if it's off, they're all just not interested at all. It's crazy how it seems like they're all in sync with feeding patterns.
I was going to say, it's see that in like certain areas? Like if one-to-one-to-one, like they're not interested in that bait at all, like then none in that area are going to be interested in that bait.
Then like all I do from there is like if they weren't interested in what I was just throwing at them, I just try to change it up, maybe go to like a darker colored swim bait, maybe a brighter colored swim bait. I'll throw top water. I've done a lot of different things to try and change it up. And I mean, I'll catch like one or two, I'll get those guys to strike, but they're usually the smaller, more aggressive ones, the younger ones. Yeah. But those really big ones, they just don't care. But when they're ready to go, it's really easy to spot that off. Like, so this year I have three of them that you would consider a dragon.
Okay.
I caught three dragons in a week.
Jesus. Nice.
The first one, 32 inches at 12 pounds, 5 ounces. And that's my personal best. I've never caught one any bigger than that.
Dang.
To start my year off with that fish being caught, that was the third snakehead I landed this year. And then to follow up the very next fish being 31 and a half inches at 11 pounds, 6 ounces, I was like, dude, this is insane. Like, it was pretty freaking cool.
Oh, but for sure.
So what happened was with that first one, that 12 pounder, she come down with a male. So you, just like with bass, the females tend to be fairly larger than the males. You get this really big snake head come cruising down with this little snake head. That's the male. He's just cruising with it. I threw over the swim bait after I turned the GoPro on. I'd like just flipped out to him. And as I'm bringing that lure across, the male kind of chased, but the female turned really quick and grabbed that lure from him.
Okay.
And I was like, thank God, dude. Like, I didn't want to catch the little guy. So when I saw that she grabbed it and I leaned back, I blistered that fish. I let her have it. You can't really tell on the GoPro, but man, I blistered that fish. And I mean, that fight was intense. That was crazy. And it was super dramatic when it didn't have to be. If I had a net with me that day, that fish would have been landed like 3 minutes, like, prior to when I actually was able to land the fish, because it was so muddy, the fish wouldn't stop jerking its head and freaking out every time I tried to grab it. Man, it was nuts.
Oh,
it was a lot of fun, though.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, that's one thing that I always like. I like to fight with the fish. Like shark fishing in Delaware, I like that fight. You know, I like that. I like bass fishing because of the fight. Cat fishing because of the fight. Like trout, I don't care about them because there's no fight. Like, it's just like rip them out of the water. That's it. But snakehead, I have not caught a snakehead yet. Now, we did get one in Jersey while we were bow fishing.
Yeah.
And that one was 27 inches.
Yeah.
I think 27, 8 pounds or something like that.
Yeah. That was a bad one.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, that's still a good snakehead.
Yeah.
That, don't get me wrong. I'll take that any day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I started my year off this year with a 28 incher, and I don't think I put it on a scale, but I mean, either way, it's still a fun fight. It is 100% one of the funnest fights that I absolutely enjoy the most when going out there fishing. I'm definitely more of a bass fisherman, but a little bit of me wants to just kind of explore these other species of fish, especially when it comes to snakehead. It's something that a lot of people aren't really all that familiar with, and a lot of people don't understand the laws either, and that part drives me crazy, man. How many people actually believe that if you catch one and you release it, it's illegal? It's not illegal.
It's not.
No, in the state of Maryland, it is not illegal.
Okay, all right.
Okay,
So a lot of people, when they see these videos where we're throwing the fish back, you right. will see so many people in there talking about how that's illegal, you need to kill them and all this. And then again, feeding into the, they're super aggressive and bad for the native species of mm-hmm. fish.
Right.
I haven't seen a change in any native species of fish since right. the snakehead have been here. I'm still catching a good amount of largemouth bass. Still catching smallmouth. I'm still catching striper. I'm still catching catfish. I'm still catching all kinds of different fish. Mm-hmm. They're all still there. It's just another predator to have in the water.
Right.
So that was.
So my question is, like, when you and your brothers were in this one spot where there's all these snakeheads, like, mm-hmm. did you also see maybe other fish swimming around there too, or like?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We had a couple largies swimming through.
Yeah.
Definitely a bunch of carp, shad. Mm-hmm. Schools of shad still swimming through, like they just didn't really care.
Right. So, I mean, I think that the main ploy or main thing for people that are focused on, it's an invasive species, which automatically they think it's a dangerous species, you know, like it's a danger to natural habitat, which, I mean, I can see where they're thinking that, but if it's not killing, like, you don't see it a bunch of trout or bass wash up on shore because these snakeheads are biting into them and, like, letting them just wash up on shore. Like, you don't see it. It's like they're the sharks of the
Susquehanna.
The Susquehanna.
We'll call it, yeah, because that's where we know that they're from. The sharks of the Susquehanna. Yeah, because the only thing we've ever been told is if you see a snakehead, you know, catch it or what, you kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Not so yet. Now Jersey, it may be different. Mm-hmm. So each state has its own laws on them, I guess, if they're found in that state. So Maryland law, back when they first were introduced to the state, it was if you catch one, you kill it. Yeah. And if you didn't want to kill it, you called DNR and they would confiscate the fish.
Okay.
But now, like, for some people, it's fortunate. Some people, it's unfortunate. Truth about the snakehead being here, no matter how many people you put on these fish, they are here forever.
Yeah.
It is too late.
Yeah.
They were introduced to the state of Maryland like 20 years ago, almost 21 years ago, something like that. The first one was back in like early 2000s. It's been 20 years. Those fish can spawn up to 5 times within a year. Mm-hmm. Thousands of babies.
Yeah.
And you got to think, those thousands of babies are doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it don't take long for them to get up to 30 inches, just like a few years, and they're 30 inches long.
Man.
Wow.
Like, what's the biggest snakehead that's ever been caught? Do you know that?
I can't remember the exact length and weight of a northern snakehead here in Maryland, but I do want to say that it was upwards of 36 inches, maybe, I think it was. And it weighed 17 pounds, I believe.
Ooh, that'd be a fun fight.
I mean, dude, that's a big snake. That's a big snakehead. You can Google it. I'm not 100%, but
either way, that's a big snakehead. Like, that's,
yeah, I mean, that's a giant. And so the northern snakehead is also found in other regions of the world.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
They stem from somewhere else. They mm-hmm. came over. And they get twice that size over there.
That's just, oh, my God.
It makes you never want, it's okay, at the beach, I don't get in the water. Like, I don't. Like, I'm the guy that metal detects along the side. Like, I don't get in the water. And if I do, it's maybe ankle deep at best just to get my feet wet, right?
Right.
Now we got these fish, even if they're not as aggressive, you got these type of fish over here in Pennsylvania. No, I'm not getting in the water at all. No, thank you.
Right. Well, I'll say this. They haven't really been known to bite humans. I did read an article. And I want to say it was a little boy in Delaware over in some kind of, I don't know if it was like a pond or like a lake. He was at a pier and he saw the glimmer of a little baby snakehead. It was like a fry ball under him. And he reached down to grab for it. Mm-hmm. And Mama sat right in that fry ball, saw his hand come down and grabbed him.
Oh. Yeah, that would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
So, mom just being mom at that point, so can't blame her on that.
So, and that's another thing too. That's another thing that I also found was crazy. So they talk about how protective they are of these fry balls, right? Where they will just absolutely demolish anything that comes through that fry ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's false. That is also a false statement. They will not always attack anything that comes to that fry ball. Now, I've ripped swim baits through fry balls. I've ripped like top water straight across the fry ball because a lot of time it's really hard to miss their fry balls.
And what is a fry ball? Is that like a nest or?
It's just picture a bait ball,
yeah.
But it's a bunch of babies and it looks like a ball.
Oh, okay.
There's hundreds of them and they're all trickling at the top of the water. Like it's so hard to miss them.
Oh.
And a lot of the time when you see that, you'll see this giant shadow lurking not too far from that ball. Mama. She's on guard.
That's scary.
So I've ripped swim baits, top waters, chatter baits through those fry balls. Hell, I've even reeled in, like stuck to my hook, this tiny little snakehead. I have pictures of them.
Yeah.
They're like this freaking big. And mama didn't care.
Jeez.
Didn't do nothing.
Maybe they are getting smarter. Yeah. They know, like, nah, that's a trap.
But then, like, we've seen, like, that same fry ball where, like, bluegill and stuff would try to come at the fry to eat them, and mama's blowing up on them. Like, you could see her, like, chasing them, coming out of the water. Like, the bluegill will jump out of the water, and she's right behind him, like, get out of here.
Oh, my God.
It's insane. I'm like, wow. She wouldn't touch this, but she's chasing a live bluegill.
Yeah.
It was insane. Wow. I was like, dude, like maybe I need to throw a bluegill cull or something. And I did. And nope. Jeez. Didn't care.
She just knew.
Maybe they're smarter. Fish are smarter than we think.
Dude, I feel like maybe they are intelligent because I'm not going to lie to you guys. This is only my second year targeting them.
Yeah. That's that. Wow.
I don't know everything when it comes to the snakehead. I will never claim to know everything when it comes to any kind of fishing.
Because
there's always something to learn.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been a blast. It's been a blast going for these snakehead, man. And I'm still learning a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm just glad I'm able to share these experiences and how I found my success with others that may not have targeted them yet.
Oh, yeah.
And want to look to target them someday.
Yeah.
Like I said, dude, your best bet, if it's a small river or small creek that touches the Chesapeake Bay, I gonna find them.
Yeah,
yeah.
They'll be in the shallows, dude.
We talked about this before. This was right after we went bow hunting, and I made this. It was a theory that I came up with. You might remember this. I was like, because our guide, he told us that the snakehead, they can breathe air to an extent. Yes. They can breathe. So I was like, and now that we're talking, like, how intelligent they actually are, like, they'll go after a live fish, but they'll ignore your baits and, you know, this and that. And I was like, it'll be long after our lifetimes, but the snakehead is going to be the next, like, evolution that comes from water onto land, like, the whole dinosaur thing. Yeah, the snakeheads are going to be the next thing. Guarantee it.
They do that already. They already do that.
Yeah.
But, so
see, we're screwed. We're screwed.
So a lot of the time, like after a rain or during a rain, they will come out of one body of water to move to another body of water.
That's freaking nuts.
They can move on land. And I think they can live out of water for up to 7 days.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah,
because the one he put the one in the bucket, the carp, all the carp were dead. And this snakehead was still alive
inside. It
was like
the next day.
And like he shot him right through the head.
If you watch their side fins, right, they will actually, so instead of going like straight out like a normal fish, they'll rotate down like little feet.
Oh my God.
They're going to turn into the day if I ever see a snake head with like little toes or fingers, it's like I'm done. I'm moving away from all water sources.
I'm done fishing.
I mean, like that's how they kind of stemmed out the way they did. The first one ever documented being caught in Maryland was in a pond
Wow.
in Anne Arundel County.
Yeah, so how do you get there somehow?
All these snakeheads stem from that snakehead.
Jesus.
She had already spawned.
Yeah.
God knows how many times before she was caught in that pond.
Right.
They just kind of trickled outward on their own.
Yeah.
Nobody, like, caught them and moved them. They just trickled out on their own. And then from there, it's just, you got to think it's been 20-plus years.
That is nuts.
Yeah.
So nuts. So I looked up the largest one in Maryland. So it was 19.9 pounds.
Oh, then, 19. Wow, I was awesome.
And the length is 35.157 inches.
35. I thought it was 36. Yeah, 35.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big snakehead,
that's
man.
That's huge. Yeah,
it's a big fish.
It's a big, big girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big girl.
And that guy actually, he does taxidermy.
Okay.
The guy that caught him. I do know that because one of my followers on TikTok who I've gotten really cool with, I consider him a friend. His name is Robert. He's got his own little outdoor show. He kind of named it after his daughter. I thought that was freaking awesome.
That is
it's
awesome.
It's called BG Outdoors. So Bella Grace Outdoors is kind of what he called it. I was like, dude, that's pretty sweet. You know? But he said that he took one of his fish over to get it mounted, and they had this snakehead mount, and then he found out that that mount right there is the, like, fish, the state record for Maryland, and the guy that was doing his taxidermy is the guy who caught that fish.
That is...
I was like, man, that must be nice. Like, you catch a state record, and then you're just like, yeah, I'm going to get that mounted.
I'm just going to
go back home and do it myself.
Yeah, really.
That must be nice.
Makes you want to become a taxidermist, but yet also you think about all the hard work they got to do. And, like,
I think about that
and a butcher.
I couldn't do that.
No.
No. That's too much time and detail. And
yeah.
I mean, that's why. And then everybody wonders why it's so damn expensive. And it's like, dude, do you know how much, like, time and effort they put into that?
Yeah.
Like, some of them went to school for it. Some of them didn't. So the guy that did my largemouth bass, I caught a 10-pound, 6-ounce largemouth bass here in Maryland on a Junior Scout jerkbait down in Annapolis. The guy who did mine, Krause Fish Artistry, he didn't go to school for it. He just kind of, like, it was a hobby for him. And now he does it. It's like, it's his side job. And I asked this guy, I was like, dude, man, if you don't mind me asking, like, how much are you making doing this, if this is just your side hustle? He said, I made over $100,000 last year in just deposits.
My God.
Deposits.
Right.
It's like not even fully paid off. This is your side job. Your side job is making $100,000, dude. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's not even fully paid off. That's crazy.
I know.
Like, my fish was $675 is how much I paid for mine.
Yeah. And with taxidermy with fish, it takes a lot of, it's not like deer where you, like, you have a pre-mold thing. Like, they have to get the right dimensions for this fish. Everything like that, it's going to have to look exactly like the fish you caught. And you got to be good at airbrushing, painting, like...
detail and everything.
Yeah.
Mine's a replica. A replica. So I caught and released my fish, but I sent him all these photos and I gave him all these dimensions. And when he sent it back to me, I mean, I couldn't be any happier with it.
Yeah.
The amount of detail that went into that, it looks like that fish is living on my wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like... wow, dude, like, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
But one of these days, I'm hoping maybe I can get me a snakehead mount. I think that would be pretty sweet. If I can get one at, like, 34 inches, I feel like at that point it'd be really tough to beat that. You get a 34-inch snakehead, that's going to be really hard to beat.
Yeah.
You don't see many YouTube channels or outdoorsmen, fishermen in general going after snakeheads. You don't, like, see that, I mean, like, as a main thing, like a main draw, like bass, trout, you know, carp, catfish, like, that's the main thing. But, like, snakefish, it's like, man, these things get freaking big.
Yeah. I mean, dude, there's, believe it or not, there's a lot more people involved in doing it than one would think. Like, you're not really seeing it all that much, but there is a fairly large community out there that targets snakehead, and for the most part, that's really all they're out to fish for anymore.
Yeah.
They don't care about nothing else, really. Like, they'll catch bass every now and then, of course. Like I said, if you're one for bass fishing, you you're probably going to catch a snakehead by accident, especially if you're fishing any water that connects to Chesapeake Bay.
Right.
You can accidentally, like, just like I did, my first one, I accidentally caught that. I wasn't targeting snakehead. I was targeting bass.
Mm-hmm.
And I leaned back on my first snakehead ever.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I considered myself lucky. I was like, holy crap, dude, like, this is pretty sweet. And then the following year, I mean, I started targeting them, like, just kind of randomly.
Yeah.
Ran into them, and we were like, let's target these fish, and it worked.
Yeah.
I was like, holy crap, like, this is easy. They, I thought it was funny, man. My little brother Dylan, he was talking shit about that chatterbait I gave him.
Yeah.
I gave him a little Z-Man original chatterbait, white, with a white paddletail swim bait on the back. And he's just casting that thing around. And he's, right as he said that, he said, man, this chatterbait sucks. And his rod just went wham. And he was like, oh, yeah, crap. Like, as soon as he said it, because yeah, he was fishing for, I don't know, 25 minutes or so with that thing, just cast and retrieve. And then he leaned back on one. I think it was 28 and a half inches for his first one.
That's awesome.
I was
That's
like,
a nice one.
I looked at him. I was like, what were you saying?
Yeah.
About the chatterbait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, yeah. And then he landed another one. He actually caught his shot too.
Yeah.
I wish I was filming that day. We walked around the other side of the river that was running down. We walked over to the other side and he said, get the net ready, boys, because I'm gonna catch one right here. He casts out and I was like, yeah, shut up. And I was like helping my brother Ethan retie a chatterbait onto his line because he wanted to throw one because he hadn't really ever thrown one before.
Right.
And he was like, oh, got one, guys. I told you. And I was like, oh, shut up. Because my brother, he's a bullshitter all the time. He's just that guy that will always just come up with some of the craziest stories. And I looked down, and he wasn't playing. I was like, oh, crap. Like, this is another good one. It was a 26-incher on that. I was like, wow, dude.
Man.
Hold your shot. That's nice.
That's nice. One thing I always wondered is, like, okay, so you said your main focus is bass. Right. So like, what's your draw? Like, why is your main thing bass? Like, of all the fish you want to catch, but like, why bass?
I feel like it's just one of those things where, like, so my younger years, it was always just fish for whatever bit.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And again, watching Bill Dance and then watching these pro guys go out there and they're targeting one specific species of fish. And I'm like, dude, there's so many other fish in these bodies of water where they're fishing. Like, I wonder if I can do that. These guys got to be pretty good to be targeting the same fish all the time. So I want to do that. I want to get good at doing that.
Right.
And I dedicated a lot of time to figure out how to get those fish to bite, right?
Yeah.
So, like, anybody can cast a line and catch a fish.
Well, except for me.
But, we'll get to that, Cody. Like, don't worry.
It takes somebody with some skill and knowledge to target a specific species.
Yeah.
On a specific lure.
Yep.
And retrieval method. And that's what kind of drew me in. It's like, I want to be good at that. That's what I want to do.
Right.
And I had my challenges. Hell, the first bait cast reel that I had, I threw that sucker on these rocks and stomped it out.
Yeah.
I got so mad at it. I didn't care about it anymore. I just picked up my spinning rod and said, screw it. I'll get back to that another day.
Little Paw Patrol.
And, yeah, dude, I was so mad, bro. I was so mad. It was a Bass Pro Shops Viper.
Okay, yeah.
Little green bait cast reel that I had. It was like $100.
Yeah.
Smashed it. Didn't care.
Oh,
it,
my God.
It bird nested on me for the last time, and I said, I'm done with it. I don't care. Snapped that pole over my knee, and I threw the bait cast reel on these rocks. I stomped it out and then picked up a boulder and dropped it on it.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That makes me so mad that day.
I've heard so many things about the bait cast. Like, I use a spinning rod. It's just how I grew up, and that's all I've ever used.
Thumb releases me.
The press the button and throw it. I couldn't do a bait caster. I don't know. I'd probably do the same thing. It would end up under a rock.
Yeah, dude, I was pretty mad. But then I was dedicated and determined. Like, if I'm gonna bass fish and I'm gonna film me fishing, I'm going to throw a baitcaster. I'm going to get good at it. And I feel like there's some advantages to using a baitcaster. Whereas, you know, with a spinning rod, there are some things that you can do with a baitcast reel and rod like setup that you can't really do with a spinning reel. So like, for instance, the flipping and pitching, it is just second nature now because I've done it so much, where you just reel up and you know exactly where that lure needs to stop for you to just lift your rod tip, swing your bait to you, catch it, and then just flip.
Yeah.
And you just, it's just like second nature. You're just flipping and pitching, like tight little spots where, you can kind of whip your line up underneath and just get the right feel for it and stuff. I mean, like, I'm sure you could probably do it with a spinning reel, but I feel like there's just so much more because you got to flip the bail, hold the line, and then whip it and do all that stuff. Whereas I got this little button under my thumb. I just press that and I've been throwing it around and getting it places where I need to a lot quicker. Whereas with the spinning reel, it's taking a little bit more time. And I like putting my mind in that mode where it's like, if this were a tournament, this is what I need to be doing.
Right, exactly.
Like, every second matters.
Yeah.
So how fast can I get on these fish? And what are they biting on?
Yeah.
Every location is different, and every method is different. So, and that's, that actually brings me to a point where what you were talking about earlier, when you said that you were struggling on like the different types of lures and the way you got to throw them and stuff like that. A lot of people don't really understand that you can watch as many videos as you want online about this lure, that lure, and how this person's throwing it, that person's throwing it. That's fine. You're not good with it like they are. You're not going to be good with it like they are. You may think like, oh yeah, I'm going to hit the water just like they did, do exactly what they did. No, you have to get on the water and practice doing that.
Right.
And not only that, that person is completely different than you. We are built different. So if I give you this, say, jerkbait, I'm going to give you this jerkbait, and then I'm going to give myself the same jerkbait, and we're going to throw it side by side. How I throw it and how you throw it are going to be two different things.
Absolutely, yeah.
The retrieval method. Our bone structure, our muscle structure, everybody is their own individual person. So how I work that lure and how you work that lure are completely different. If mine is more appealing to the fish, I'm probably going to get more bites than you. If yours is more appealing to the fish than mine, you're probably going to get more bites than me.
Right.
So you see these guys talking about, oh, I'm throwing this, I'm throwing that. Like, that's great. That doesn't mean you're going to catch it on that. You have to get out there and practice and figure out what works best for you when throwing that kind of a lure.
Right.
You know what I mean? So every retrieval method is different. And that's another thing that kind of helped me find that love, passion, and dedication for bass fishing, because I got pretty good at doing a lot of different things I didn't think I was going to be good at.
Right.
And I even taught myself a few different things that I never watched in a video.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, like, once you learn that one thing, once you learn one technique, it's like, okay, check that off. Now it's like, it makes learning different techniques, other techniques on top of that one, a lot easier, because you kind of have that barrier to go off of, that knowledge to go off of, that muscle memory to go off of.
And one of the greatest ways for anybody who wants to get into, like, bass fishing, especially beginners that want to get into bass fishing, when that season hits, when the top water bite is really good, a top water lure is the greatest lure to throw for anybody who's a beginner bass fisherman.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say this is because you're able to see that lure the entire time it's on the water. You're able to see how you're moving it, and what you're trying to do is mimic that bug, that frog, and you're just trying to figure out what's working best for you to get those strikes. You're able to see the strike. So when you see the strike, you're seeing it and feeling it at the same time. So now you see what that strike is. You feel what that strike felt like. You get used to the kind of thing. So then whenever you transition to something where you can't see it, as you're working those baits, you feel it. And you can identify, like, that's a fish. So you lean back, verify, yep, that line's moving, and then you just set your hook.
Yeah.
I think top water is definitely a great start for bass fishermen, anybody who wants to get into bass fishing, topwater is definitely going to be like a go-to for sure to start out with.
All right. Yeah. I mean, that's a good tip because, I mean, it makes sense, you know. If you can put all the pieces together when it's happening in front of you, it's like, that's what it feels like. That's what I'm looking for every single time. That makes complete sense.
Yep. So the transition from top water to these other lures and stuff, you kind of get a better feel for it.
Right. Yeah.
It's so much more fun.
Yeah.
And, I mean, snakehead, pretty much, I mean, you could probably do the same thing when it comes to snakehead fishing.
Okay.
When it comes to snakehead fishing, you could probably do the same thing. Top water is a great, great method for snakehead. A company that I like a lot for their top water is it's a little local company here in Maryland. Mm-hmm. It's called Tactical Fishing Company. The guy Andrew, who's like the founder of Tactical Fishing Company, he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's designed his own like a soft plastic top water.
Okay.
Frog.
Yeah.
And it just looks killer out there in the water. I really can't wait to get my hands on it.
Yeah.
And try those things out for the snakes because I do know they're frog eaters.
Okay.
They're definitely some frog eaters, man. The snakehead are frog eaters. They're also swim bait eaters. I mean, he's got swim baits, paddle tails, and frogs. And they're definitely huge on targeting snakehead over there.
Okay.
Tactical Fishing. Those guys, they came up with a really good design and they have some pretty cool designs and colors. Like you wouldn't think to throw a red frog.
Right.
But they got one and apparently that thing is money.
Yeah. Like,
apparently the snakehead just teared that thing up. Ooh. So I haven't been able to get my hands on the red one yet. Every time I go to buy them, they're sold out. I'm like, damn it. Like I want that frog so bad. I want to see it myself.
Right.
So, I mean, who doesn't like a top water bite, right?
Yeah, exactly. So one thing that we're kind of going to start trying to do is like, I want to hear the setup. So what kind of setup do you have? Let's go through your main thing. You're going to a spot first thing. What's your go-to setup?
My go-to setup is a 7-foot medium heavy fast action rod. I'm throwing a lot of people that are like more in depth or they're definitely going to defer from me. A lot of people like throwing braid.
Yeah.
When they're going for snakehead, stronger line, bigger fish makes sense.
Right.
But I have found that a 15-pound fluorocarbon line works for me.
Okay.
I'm cool with that. I make it work. Mm-hmm. But 7-foot, medium heavy, fast action, 15-pound fluorocarbon line. And I have right now with me a unreleased Guggen Green Series reel. And I want to say it's a 7.4:1 gear ratio. Okay. It is not on the market yet. But one rod, one reel from the Guggen squad gave me that reel. And he also gave me the rod that it's attached to. It's their go-to rod, actually.
Okay. All right.
Listen to the rod. It's called the Guggen go-to. It's a gold series rod. And I've been putting that shit through the ringer, man.
Yeah.
I really have. Like, especially being out there Riverside going for snakehead, I really want to put that reel through the test, obviously, I do a review. Yeah. But that's my setup, and that's really my go-to for bass fishing. That's always been my go-to before I even got that rod and reel combo from One Rod. I've always thrown a 7-foot medium heavy.
Okay.
Like starting out, I didn't because I didn't know too much, but I found it was weird how I just found comfort with the 7-foot medium heavy. I found that soft tip, but that strong backbone that rod had really helped out with all kinds of different fishing. If I wanted to throw top water, I can throw top water. If I wanted to throw finesse, I can finesse. If I wanted to throw reaction, I can throw reaction. If I want to throw power, throw power. Like there's a lot of different techniques that you can use, and that setup right there is just key for any kind of fishing. Like you can definitely have that, and you throw top water, you can throw a jerk bait. Throw a crankbait, you throw your jigs, you throw your spinner baits, it don't matter. You throw anything on that kind of setup and it's just money.
Yeah. Man, that's something I haven't really dabbled with. I mean, I'm sure eventually, like, my wife asked me, like, what's one thing you want to do over the summer? with her and Raylan and myself. And I was like, honestly, I kind of want to go fishing. I want to take you three fishing and just like go to a pond and like catch some bass. Like that's really what I want to do. She's like, okay, we can do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool.
It's a fun time.
Memories.
Yeah. She can sit there with Raylan and read her book or whatever, or just like look around on the chair and just I'll be fishing. Like
I mean, memories is that's one of the biggest reasons why I created Devil Dog Outdoors for the most part.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted to share those experiences. And when I transitioned from what the original plan was to now it's just me and my family, because a lot of people took us as a joke. Mm-hmm. I was just like, you know what, man? Like in a way, this is exactly what I wanted to do for years.
Yep.
I just want to film these experiences with me and my family, because one of these days I'm not going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
One of these days I'm not going to be able to tell my stories.
Yep.
My kids may end up forgetting some of them.
Yeah.
And when I'm gone, if anybody wants to know why my family is the way that we are, they have Devil Dog Outdoors to go off of.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that my son takes what I've going on here and runs even further with it than I could have ever done.
Absolutely.
And the fact that I've come as far as I have, I've blown my own mind. This wasn't the plan. This wasn't the goal to get that big so quick. And I'm not saying I'm huge, but like on TikTok for the most part, you know, to have over 100,000 followers in 7 months, that was insane.
Yeah. That is
like, and I'm forever grateful for, I don't care what your reason was to hit the follow button, whatever it was. I'm very appreciative of anybody who follows me. I mean, especially Instagram, YouTube subscribers, Facebook followers, like the amount of love and support that I've gotten over the years for just doing this. It just, I've been blessed and I'm very appreciative. I'm never forgetful of any of that. Those people have definitely brought a lot of more positive energy my way.
Yes.
I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean,
I do love it a lot.
I'm glad we were able to make this work and have you come on kind of like last minute, honestly. And it was, it was awesome that we were able to get you on here. But for the listeners, drop where they can follow you at on YouTube, Instagram, all that kind of stuff.
So if you just look up Devil Dog Outdoors on any platform, any social platform you got, you're definitely going to run into us. TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. There is another Devil Dog Outdoors out there, I found out. And it happened right around the time I started going viral last year.
Okay.
But they're a coyote hunting service.
Okay.
Which makes sense. I'm not even mad at them for it. It's just like, all right, cool. But like, you'll see my logo. It's the D with the antlers. It says Devil Dog Outdoors.
Yeah.
There's like a green outline with a blue background.
Okay.
It's nice. But yeah, my little brother made the logo for me.
Cool, man.
But yeah, that's where you guys can find us, anywhere, Devil Dog Outdoors.
Cool, man. Well, hopefully you can keep putting some snakeheads down, keep catching them. Hopefully you beat the record of 35 inches.
Heck yeah.
Dude, honestly, I'm not even gonna lie, man. Like that's a tough one to beat. I've seen some big ones, but I don't know if they were that big. I was hoping to catch the state record largemouth bass, and
what is that?
I mean, so the state record largemouth bass is 11 pounds 2 ounces. I caught one 10 pounds 6 ounces.
Ooh,
you were right. Oh, you were right.
Oh
there.
My god.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. It was, I was in Bassmaster magazine for that one too, which is pretty sweet.
That's awesome. Do you have to beat it by 2 ounces? Like in Pennsylvania, you have to beat the record by 2 ounces for it to count. Is anything like that in Maryland or no?
I don't think so. I think you just got to beat it by an ounce and you're good.
Yeah, because I know in Pennsylvania, man, it's 2 ounces.
That is bull crap. How the hell does that work out? Like,
hell if I know.
You beat it by an ounce, so it don't count.
Yeah.
What do you mean, buddy?
Yeah, heavier. Yeah. I had to reread that a few times. I was like, yeah, this does say 2 ounces. Like, you have to beat it by 2 ounces for it to count in Pennsylvania. If you want a state record, it's got to be 2 ounces.
That is, wow.
Yeah.
Man. Nah, man. But yeah, man, I mean, if you guys ever get the chance to go down Susquehanna below Conowingo Dam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find them down in there. They're in the pools down there by the dam. I've seen quite a few people pull up some pretty nice snakehead down there. And not only that, with, you know, tomorrow, well, no, not tomorrow. What is it? Monday. Monday being May 1st.
It's going to be May.
Rockfish. Rockfish season starts down here in Maryland. So,
oh, okay.
They're running really good down there. So,
cool.
You guys probably land some rockfish, get on some snakehead, maybe some smallies sometime. I mean, May, June, July, those are all hot months. Those snakehead are going to be in the shallows.
Sweet.
Nice.
Sweet.
100%.
So, well, maybe we'll have to get after it.
We have to go back. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's been over a year. We went bow fishing for my my bachelor party literally around this time last year, a little earlier. I think it was April. Early. But yeah, we got that one snakehead, and I was like, oh, I want more.
Oh, yeah.
I got to get more now because they're so cool. They're cool-looking fish.
So I've never bow fished ever in my life, and I'll tell you right now, from what I've seen and, like, thinking about it now, I don't think that even comes remotely close to actually getting that fish to bite a lure and then you setting the hook and reeling it in. So, yeah, like, you know, you shoot that snakehead, it might run on you a little bit, but you just kind of reel it in and pull it up.
Yeah.
It's beautiful fish. I think they're beautiful, honestly. Like, nasty looking in the face, but the pattern on them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it's 100% a beautiful fish.
Oh, for sure.
But when you get them to bite and you set that hook and that fish is just head shakes immediately and then just runs. I mean, dude, there's so much fun in that scream and drag. And it is a whole hell of a lot of fun. It's up there with largemouth for me.
Add it to the bucket list.
Yep, there we go.
Things to do. That'd be fun.
I think you guys will have a lot of fun doing it. Again, paddletail swim baits is probably going to be a go-to for you. That or anything topwater, frogs or poppers, smaller ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The smaller little poppers and frogs, you'll get them.
All right, cool.
Sweet.
Hopefully
absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on and inviting me, dude. This is absolutely fun.
Yeah.
You betcha.
Hopefully you can get more down and we'll hear some more stories about it.
You'll see it all on online, I promise.
All right.
Yeah. There's definitely more coming.
Okay. You bet. Cool, man. You have a good rest of your night.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Thanks. See you, man.
See y'all next time.